support to WORT. Joining me in the studio as I continue my interviews and my scathing criticisms and attacks on school board candidates, I've got Lucy Mathias. Lucy, are you there?
I am here.
Can you hear me? Well, I can kind of hear you. What color is that tape out there? Is that the yellow? God, pink. Go ahead. Pink. There we go. Go ahead, talk.
I get pink tape.
There it is.
Okay.
Okay, Lucy is a school board candidate for what seat now?
Seat number two. I'm running against Juan Jose Lopez, who has been in seat number two for 12 years and is running for his fifth term.
Okay, well, why are you running, Lucy? Why are you running against Juan?
Well, I'm running because I'm a mom. I've been active in the schools for about 17 years. I've got two kids who have a variety of characteristics that have caused me great concern as I've watched them go through the schools and talk to their friends.
Variety of characteristics.
Yeah, variety of characteristics.
We can talk about your kids. Well, I get. Okay, we won't.
My concern is that I don't think we can afford to screw around much longer, and I feel like we've been screwing around for a long time.
Who's been screwing around?
The board.
In what way have they been screwing around?
Well, when you have serious issues.
I'm getting there. Okay, because let's not be vague here.
No, I will get to it.
I'm going to pinpoint it.
Some of the things that I'm concerned about have to do with the way that we work with the budget. And, you know, especially I'm concerned with the issue that for the last several years, and we're doing it again this year.
Is what?
When we talk about the budget, we say, oh, we're going to have this gap. We're going to have to cut teachers. We're going to have to cut psychologists. We're going to have to cut this. We're going to have to cut that. The cuts always seem to come out of the schools, and they don't seem to come out of business services or administration. That bothers me because I know the teachers. I know the nurses. I know the people who make schools work, and we are messing with them.
And the administration doesn't make schools work.
Well, not this administration.
Okay, where in the administration can it be cut? Where could cuts be made in administration?
Isn't that interesting? I mean, I think one of my questions is, we seem to have a lot of people who work with the budget, but yet when you go to school board meetings and you ask questions about it, you get a lot of, I don't know. Now, it seems to me that if they don't know, they shouldn't be there.
Well, who are you going to cut? Do you know?
I don't have a list of names. I'm just saying that in the past several years, when the district has cut the budget, it has cut zero
from
administration. It has cut position after position after position from the schools. That's not right.
Now, what about our funding, school funding formula for the state of Wisconsin? Do you think that has anything to do with the fact that not only in Madison, but every other school district, not only in Wisconsin, but throughout the country, is faced with these types of decisions of cutting? Because, well, we just don't have enough money to run our public schools, right? Whose fault is that?
That is the government's fault, but that's not a free pass. It doesn't mean you get to not make decisions. And what I hear over and over again is we can't do anything. We have no choice. Well, we have choices. We have a choice between cutting somebody from business services and somebody from in the schools. I know which one I'd pick.
Okay, but what part of business services, what part of the administration is
unnecessary? Let me give you an example. Okay. We have a number of attorneys that work for the administration. And yet, just the other day, I got in my packet, now that I'm a candidate, I get a packet of the materials that the board gets. One of the things in that packet was a lengthy explanation of what the district can and cannot do during a referendum. Now, it wasn't written by a district attorney. It was farmed out to a local law firm, a very large law firm. And I'm guessing that it wasn't free. It wasn't free. Now, either we shouldn't have those attorneys downtown.
Now, was that a board decision to print that and go to that attorney? Or was that an administration? Is that an example of what you think where we could cut? And how much would that save?
I don't know because they aren't telling us. And I think that it starts with getting them to be more forthcoming.
Could you get that information if you asked them?
No.
I think you could.
Right now, the district, as you may know from reading Isthmus, the district has been named the most secretive government organization in Madison.
By who?
By Bill Leaders.
Okay, well, now, you can take that with a grain of salt.
The number of open records requests, FOIAs, open meeting violation complaints against the district right now is sizable. And I think that...
So how would you change it? And what's the difference between you and Juan Lopez?
Well, I think I'm much more likely to ask questions like this. It may be that the way things are going is truly the only alternative, but you can't say that with certainty because so much of it reduces down to just a shell game with what we know, what we don't know.
So you think that the school board, current school board, all the school board,
the majority of the board
is what?
Is
hiding information. They're complacent and they're hiding.
I don't know that they're hiding. They're just not asking. They throw up their hand. They start with, we can't do anything. And they end with, oh, gee, look what we're going to stick it to your kids this time. And that bothers me.
Well, let's go back to the schools now. Now, you said that there's you have schools in the school district on the east side, right? Your kids went to East,
we're
or
east
they're
siders.
Still going to East? Okay.
I have one son who's graduated from East, one son who's at East.
Okay. And what was your experience there? What of their experience has also been a deciding factor in you running for the school board?
I'm sorry.
Don't mind the captain over there.
The captain
He's just
here
a distraction.
I don't know if that's an editorial comment
no,
on
I
my...
just burped. I'm sorry.
His mic is off anyhow, so don't worry about it.
I have
it,
no use for East High School, but that's a whole other issue.
He didn't have any use for any type of school anyhow, so it wouldn't matter what school it was.
Actually,
just like it wouldn't matter
Clara's
what mayor
right?
it was.
Yes, I am.
My son Nate played soccer with Clara.
Oh, hi.
Hi. So anyway, what I wanted to say about East is
You didn't have any money in your hand when you shook his
no,
hand.
No, I did not. Sorry.
Okay.
what you see is what you get. Here's what I think about East. I think my oldest son came in when Milt was still there.
Yes.
I think that Milt had many good qualities. I think that there were problems while Milt was there, and I think that the next person
what
handled
them. What
type
of problems?
Well, I think that, as far as I can tell, we have some counselors who routinely tell children of color, you're not college material. This has been going on for over 20 years, and I don't know if it's still going on, but I certainly put it out in public last year. Problems getting children of color into advanced classes because the same counselors are saying, oh, that's too hard for you. You really don't want to take that. Wouldn't you really rather
Now, where does that happen? At what level
at
of
East.
The school? Where does that happen? At
in the
at elementary school, the middle
no,
school?
At
or
East
where?
High School.
By the way, I got a caller here. Caller says, I am concerned that I am badgering my guest and not letting her talk. Well, hell yes, I'm badgering. Must be one of the school information systems people call in here. But
it's okay.
Let's talk. Let's
I can
talk.
Handle
okay,
it.
Okay,
thank
good.
You for coming to my defense. I'm,
yes,
but I,
don't
I'm
worry.
Good.
She's fine. She's a big person. She's an old neighbor of mine, too, so we can
yeah.
be very
what you're hearing
casual
is,
and upfront.
It's two people who probably had some caffeine, not as much as we need first thing
need
in the
some
morning.
I need some more, as a matter of fact.
Well,
here, I'll get you something.
Me, too.
Well, thanks, man.
Me, too.
Okay. what do you want in it?
Cafe Solo,
beer.
Por favor.
No,
Cafe Solo? They don't make that here. They don't
some
make
sugar. Sugar, if they got some creamer, that's good. Thanks, Captain.
Okay.
But by the way, we are trying to raise money for WRT anyhow. Join the people who have pledged your support.
And actually, can I say a few words about this since we're...
Well, why don't you wait till after the campaign talk?
Okay.
Let me continue with my badgering.
Okay,
but anyway,
now let
first,
me talk about East.
Okay,
let me talk about East because I want to say up front,
East.
There are some excellent teachers. There are some good counselors. It's not uniformly, but there are some areas where the school has had problems. I had my son in and there's going to be some unhappy teachers when I talk about this, but I had my older son take English composition because he struggles to write.
Okay.
You know what they did?
What?
They watched Disney videos and had no writing assignments. The one time he had a writing assignment was when Mr. Swiderski was subbing.
Oh, I know. Lucia, yeah, okay.
That's not okay.
That's okay.
That's
so, that,
not
so
okay.
Then now whose fault is that?
Well,
is that school administration? Is that school board? I mean, is it the job of the school board to be in every classroom?
No, no,
okay.
It's
is it
not.
The job of the school board to decide curriculum, Lucy?
It depends on what you mean by that. If you mean, should the school board dictate what books are used? No. Should the school board go into individual classrooms and tell teachers how to teach? No, because in fact, I think we've got some really fabulous teachers.
Right, okay.
Okay, let me finish this.
So what should they
but
do?
But I do think that the school board does have a responsibility, and it is written out both in DPI standards and in our own policies, to hold the district accountable for maintaining a strong curriculum and one that teaches all of the children to their highest level of ability.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not seeing, you know, I think there are some teachers who do that. I think they do that. It's an uphill battle. And with very increasingly small resources, increasingly few reasons to stay.
Right, the small
and
resources.
And I think we need to change that. And,
okay.
And one,
how can the board affect that type of change?
Well, the board can start by saying we want to look at everything.
Okay.
When we look at the budget, we don't start by saying we're going to just increase every single part of this budget by 4% and then discover that we can't meet it,
mm-hmm.
which is how the district has operated for the last several years. Because when they do that, typically they discover they can't meet it, and then what do they cut? They say, you know, get ready. You heard it here first. We're going to be talking about cutting the arts. We're going to be talking about cutting
music.
Which
has been going. It's been ongoing. I mean, the kids, they take one or two art classes a week instead of every day. I mean, you can't sign up for that. A lot of our language classes, of course, we don't have those anymore. Of course. Okay, now, are these board decisions? I mean, these are fiscal decisions that have to be made.
Okay,
do you think that we could keep those programs?
Yes, we can. Okay. Yes, we can.
And then what else would be sacrificed? Where are we going to get the money to keep it?
Well, here's one crazy idea that I had.
Okay.
And it's one that I had last year. And
it's a legal one, right?
It's absolutely legal. Okay. It's absolutely one that most people aren't thinking about.
Okay.
Again, it starts with looking at every part of the budget, not just the part that the board wants to talk about when they scare the pee out of parents and taxpayers. If we look at the entire budget, then we ought to be looking at, we've got a large number of people down in the Doyle Building being resource specialists. Now, there are members of the board of the majority who'll say, oh, we need those. The people in the schools love these resource specialists. They help them with the curriculum.
What is a resource specialist? Yeah, what do they do?
Well, I think they sort of come up with a grand scheme for what ought to be taught and then somehow
how it should be taught.
For example, a lot of the reading wars are fought downtown. When you talk to people in the schools, the principals and teachers and school staff, I have not met one person who will say, oh, yeah, I'd rather have those people sitting in the Doyle Building. They'd rather have those folks in classrooms.
Right.
Because right now we don't have enough people in the classrooms teaching. To be honest, if you did a survey of teachers and principals and they're allowed to answer without fear of retaliation, I think you'd find that most people would get rid of those positions and put them back in schools. Another area where we could make a big change is to look at things like how we actually look at our community service funding, which has grown from about $2 million to $11 million a year in about 6 years. That is not under the revenue cap. It's been allowed to grow, but it affects our property taxes. So people who are angry about property taxes, for whatever reason, could actually say, let's put more money back into the schools. Here's my crazy plan. What I would do is put many of the community service funding projects on a cost recovery basis. I'm talking about school community rec programs, adult rec.
So you're talking about Fund 80.
Fund 80.
Now that's the SIS, school information systems. That's a big problem for them, Fund 80. So you think that we should cut Fund 80?
I don't know that it's a big problem for school information system. It is for people like me who write about it on school information system.
Okay. And we should cut Fund 80, or you don't like that? Now, I've seen the actual effects of Fund 80. I've seen the after-school basketball program where a lot of kids get involved in it, and especially a lot of minority kids we're not reaching, the kids that don't have the opportunity to take part in a lot of those other extracurricular activities, be it band, be it whatever.
Well, but I think, when you're cutting the programs that are during the school day, you're hurting kids who can't be there because after school they're going home to take care of younger siblings. I would much rather put that money back into what happens during the school day than
so
say...
So you don't think that the after-school basketball program and other things that MSCR funds, that those are beneficial? I mean, we're hitting a lot of kids here.
I think we're taking money out of the school to put it into MSCR, and I don't think that's right. No.
Okay, now that's a separate fund that doesn't get touched.
It's not under the revenue caps, but it's still money, and it still affects how people feel about their property taxes. And so,
now, can that just be shifted right over to school resources for more teachers or what? Can it?
No, but what you could do is get permission, put out a referendum to get permission to exceed the revenue caps and put the money that's going into Fund 80 back into the schools without raising property taxes.
Okay, then what's going to happen to those after-school programs? They're cut.
Well, some of them you won't need because they'll be happening during the school day. I mean, that's one of the things that I find very, very perverse. We say, oh, we'll just put band and the arts and all these other things in after-school programs. Well, again, the kids that I know, the kids I'm most worried about reaching, need those during the school day because after school, they are not free children.
Okay, now what's the difference? We got another caller here. We have to introduce my guest is Lucy Mathiak, who is a school board candidate for seat what? What seat?
Seat number two. Running against Juan Jose.
She'll be running against Juan Jose Lopez, who's been on the board for a very long time. We hope to get Juan down here. Hopefully next Thursday we'll have him down here. So what's the difference, big difference between you and Juan? Why are you running against Juan? Why did you decide that you needed to run for the school board seat?
Because I think that one of the things that would be really healthy to have on the board is term limits. I think that one of the things that happened recently in Cap Times about 2 days ago, there was a discussion about the budget, and oh, woe is me, big surprise, we're going to have another gap. And the president of the board, who I'm not running against, said, oh, I've run out of ideas. Well, you know, sometimes when you bring new people and you get new ideas.
Right.
One of the other big differences is...
new bizarre and messed up ideas maybe too, you know. So
well,
it's not just a matter of getting new ideas.
But the fact is right now, you know, there's this constant, oh, we would like ideas. Oh, we're always looking for new ideas. I've watched people present many, many ideas. What I would love to see is a full and public discussion. And we're not having that. And that's part of the reason I'm running, because I want to have a public discussion about whether we're...
But what's bad about
Juan
Lopez?
Let me finish.
Okay, but what's bad about
Juan? I'll get to that.
Okay.
Let me finish. What I would like to see is a full and public discussion of whether we would like to have our property tax dollars pay for MSCR, or we'd like to have it pay for things in the schools. I think most people would feel much happier about paying for things in the schools during the school day, including nurses, psychologists, all of the people we've been taking out. When we talk about engagement, and I say this as a parent of a child who struggled to read, all of the after-school programs in the universe don't make a difference if the kid doesn't have the help they need to deal with either reading problems, or some of the kids in our schools have overwhelming problems at home. If they don't have the nurses and social workers and people who help them to succeed despite that adversity, then all the after-school programs in the world are of marginal impact at best. I'm not saying they're bad. In an ideal world, we have it all. But if I have to pick what we can do in the schools while we have the children every day, I'm picking what we have in the schools.
So is it that easy? What I'm saying is it that easy to delve into, and this is something that the board would do, is delve into that Fund 80 money and transfer it back to more teachers. Now, I don't know about the social workers and the support staff. I'd rather see more teachers and more help, you know, teaching kids than I would with this other support staff.
Well,
of course,
let me explain why I'd like the other support staff. Because right now, the kids that we are seeing coming into the schools have stresses you and I never saw or had. I mean, we all had stresses. I'm not saying my life was a you know, piece of cake. But the issue is that We have a society, this is where we get to the big society issues, where we've really disinvested in our children. We have said, basically, I don't care what's going on in your
right.
home. That's really not our problem.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you come on into school and, you know, so what if you're hungry? So what if you're being physically or sexually abused? So what if your mom couldn't get you up today, or your mom isn't at home because she's in jail or dad's in jail? You come in into the school and you behave and it's all good. I say, we need the people who can work with kids, and even with the kids from very affluent families, there's a different set of this. They're the kids who are being talked about, you have to get into a good college, you have to do all
right.
these things, you have to be a superhero, and you better get good grades, and by Jesus, you better be in these 8 activities. It's not universal, but there are a lot of kids who are feeling that stress, who are coming into school stressed.
But they also have the opportunity and the privilege and the access to the TAG level classes.
I'm not
and
talking
to the
about TAG.
Well,
I'm not talking about TAG.
Oh, well, let me talk about it, because there is. My kids have been through the school district, yeah. also in the school system, and I still have kids in the school system. I have kids that graduated to different levels of success, and girls are smarter than boys. I'm just going to say that out front, okay? But there is it's a hidden tracking system that goes on. It starts in the elementary and in the middle school levels, okay?
You betcha.
And you can see that going on, and you can see the kids that have access to these classes, and it kind of seems that I don't want to say there's a racist element
yes,
in this
there
whole
is.
I mean,
yes, there is.
Okay. Well, no, there is. There's
now,
definitely
I'm
a racist,
okay
and
going
I'm
there.
Thinking about that. But
I'm okay
talking
going
about
there.
Good, good. Let's talk about that.
Let's talk about it. You want to know
okay,
why I'm
Okay,
wait.
What are you doing? What do you propose to improve the graduation rate for our lower-income kids, for our kids of color? I mean, it's pathetic now. 40-50% of the kids that start in ninth grade don't finish by the time, by their senior year, don't graduate.
I understand
in many
that.
Of our schools. So what do you propose to improve the achievement of our most needy kids, I guess we could call them?
Well, I wouldn't start with Glenn Singleton. That's one thing for sure. Let me just you asked
is that that guy that they hired from?
Yeah,
yeah, of course. So that's stupid.
Okay.
I agree with that.
Let me. You asked why I'm running.
No, I asked what you're going to do to improve.
This has everything to do with why I'm running.
Okay.
It's not the only reason, but it's one of the big reasons, because everything comes back to having a board that's doing its job. Now, one of the things that really bothers me, I have plenty of experience with the full range. I have experience with kids with learning disabilities. I also have a son who is way advanced. Neither of my kids have been served well by the schools. I know what I've heard from the kids around my dinner table. I spent last year going around to community organizations, schools, neighborhood centers in the East High attendance area, putting the issue of race on the table, mm-hmm. because we have to address it. And I think East has a potential. It has the potential. It's not realized, but it has the potential to do some of the things our district needs to do district-wide. Here's the issue that I see. We feel very comfortable in being from Madison, being very PC and liberal and all these things. Now, I see your eyelids fluttering. People on... Hear that? That's Tony's eyes fluttering. let me just say to you a couple of things about what hasn't been happening. We have something called the Performance and Achievement Committee on the school board. Last year when Juan was the chair, it did not meet after January 21st. When it did meet, it had a lot of happy talk PowerPoints from district administration saying, oh, our kids are doing really well.
What's the mission of that committee that you're talking
about? It's supposed to look at issues of how students achieve and what it takes to improve achievement.
Okay.
So when you're talking about something the district has known since 2000, about 25% of our high school dropouts fall into a category. Listen to these numbers. They scored 84% or higher on the fifth grade math test, mm-hmm. 84 percentile or higher. So these are high achieving kids. Within that 25% that drops out, over half of those kids came from low-income families, large number of black and Latino kids, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. and males.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that says something. The district has known this. We have spent more time dealing with animals in the classroom than we have talking about just that 25% that we ought to be looking at. The issue isn't whether it's TIG or minority student achievement. It's opening the doors so that 84 percentile and higher group of kids
right.
gets in the door. And you don't change that until you talk about how the district does business. You don't talk about how, we can't change this until we're having an active dialogue about our assumptions.
So is that a difference between you and Juan?
Absolutely.
Lopez? Okay. They're not talking about that? Is that what you're
saying?
Have
you seen it talked about? Go back to the board minutes and see how much this has been discussed outside of speeches. Speeches are good, but somebody has to say, okay, what are we going to do about it? How are we going to address this? And it starts with listening to the parents. It starts with hiring people. One of the things that Alan Harris did at Blackhawk that I applaud, and it's a different model. You don't start out by saying to the teachers and to the parents, which kids should take algebra in eighth grade. You start out by testing every child to see who's ready to take algebra and likely to succeed, and then you make enough seats in that eighth grade algebra class to teach every single child. Guess what happens? The school classrooms in eighth grade algebra are populated by a different population. Yep.
Okay. And that's something that Juan Lopez is against that, or what are you talking about?
He had no role in it.
Okay.
That was Alan Harris, who's now the principal at East.
Right. Okay.
And it's a model that you don't see even come before the board, because with the board, every discussion is it's either they've done a very good job of pitting TAG parents against parents of children of color, against parents of kids with disabilities. We all get arguing with each other. And what we lose sight of is that there are kids who are in multiple categories. There's an assumption, and nobody is challenging this, that you can't... In fact, one of the board members, I won't say who, has said, I don't want to talk about TAG. It has nothing to do with minority kids. Well, to me, it has everything to do...
A school board member said that. Okay.
And it has everything to do with it. My house was populated for my son's last 2 years of high school and first year post high school by a group of about eight kids who, they had parents, they had families, but they spent a lot of time at my house at my dinner table, in fact.
Okay.
I learned a lot. These are kids who have potential to achieve. I have a student who is now at UW Parkside who really ought to be at Harvard. She was told by her counselor, you're not college material. She's black. Okay, this is wrong, and as long as we tolerate this, as long as we are complacent, as long as we say, oh, it doesn't matter if performance and achievement meets, it doesn't matter if we have a full discussion, let's talk about animals in the classroom, our schools are not going to change. I know black families, I know Latino families who are taking their kids out of the district because they have every aspiration for their children.
And where are they taking their kids?
They're taking them to Verona, they're taking them to Edgewood, they're taking them to private schools.
Okay, I'm speaking with school board candidate Lucy Mathiak. She's running against Juan Lopez. We got to wind down here. We've gone over half an hour. No. We got to give everybody about the same amount of time. I want to thank people who called. First of all, David P. Right on, David. Thanks for pledging your support to WRT. Let me get this other list over here. Give us a call. We got phone answers, and the phones are not lighting up. So give us a call. And some of you complainers, or you as school information system people calling here, why don't you also pledge some money? Well, read your comments. So pledge some money. And, of course, Lucy, you're a supporter of Wharton. You've been a long-time supporter. So you're off. I want to thank Randy Baldwin. Of course, yes, that Randy. Allison Mater from the Harmony Bar. Andrew M.C. Quaig. Nate Janik. Jonathan, right on.
Yep.
Way to go, Jonathan. I don't know if we could say his whole name because whatever.
Can't.
Somebody will go after him. We can't say his name.
No.
And he got the Weary Traveler gift certificate. David P., David P., I got some bad sports news. EF Mark 68, CBI Batos Locos 67. Came down to the last second. Some MSCR money spent there for City League basketball for the CBI Batos Locos. Give us a call, 256-2001, folks. Lucy, I'm going to ask you to wind down. I'm sure that we'll probably get into it. I'm going to have, hopefully, Juan will be here next week, and we can talk about it now. You are backed by school information systems people, and I had Maya on last week, and I wanted to know exactly if if your supporters, you guys are kind of running as a block, you've had some benefits together. What is the agenda of school information systems? What is their political agenda for
Madison
School District?
There is no political agenda. Okay. The agenda is to have free and open exchange of information. So,
and we don't have
if
that
Johnny
now.
Will, if Johnny Winston Jr. and Carol Carstensen have given me their support, this would be new information to me. It's certainly new information to Juan, and they are part of school information system. It was started. I was one of the people who started about 3 years ago, precisely because the amount of information control and lack of public dialogue about our schools at a time when our schools are really at a turning point is something we should all be concerned about. In fact, I welcome Wart playing a larger role in not the, just the elections, but ongoing debate. Tony, you should have a regular segment.
Oh, we have. We've discussed it a lot here in our 16 years of doing this buzz show. So,
but, you know, school information system is open to anybody. We don't all agree. In fact, there are people who are backing Arlene Silvera, people who back Juan, who are posting to that blog. So please, let's get off the thing that Isthmus put out last week, which is sort of a misnomer. Yes, Maya and I have done some things together. We don't do everything together. I just met her because we have the big agenda that we have in common that Maya and I have is change. We are not backed by the majority of the board. We are not backed by the usual suspects. We are outsiders who are very concerned about what we're seeing in the schools, who want to see the board function in a way that benefits the kids and the people who work with them.
Right on. Lucy, thank you very much for coming down.
Can I say one thing about
Lucy's an old neighbor. Yes, you can say something about the pledge drive now. That will help.
Now, I want to say something about the pledge drive, and I want to specifically speak to the people who are part of school information system because I think that it is important to support Wart. I have friends who helped create Wart many years ago. Don Allen was an old underground newspaper friend of mine. And the reason Wart was created was because people felt it was very important to have an alternative voice in an alternative space. I really support Wart for going to streaming because I think it's critical. Wart has been, I got so nostalgic waiting to do this because so many people on the picture out in the hall are parts of my life for many, many years. I just saw Sue Goldwoman the other day. I made one of my best friends in the world through her infinite variety. So please support Wart. Call in. Come on, get those checkbooks out while you still got the caffeine. It's a very important service.
Thank you, Lucy. Thank you very much. And we'll be talking to you again in a minute.
Thank you,
we're going to get to Captain.